September. Oil prices starting to head higher again. Crude now topping $125 a barrel. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the July 24th, Thursday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. Today on the broadcast, we're going to be talking about the apostles and the atonement. Sinclair Ferguson, a well-known name, I'm sure, with many of the folks in our listening audience, stated, "If you want to judge how well a person understands the gospel, ask him what he makes of the death of Christ and what is the message of the cross. We need to understand that the cross stands at the center of the heart of the gospel, and without it, there is no gospel." Unquote. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul wrote, quote, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures," unquote. Jerry Bridges notes in the introduction to his book, he says this, "Christ died for our sins suggests two ideas, substitution and sacrifice. Christ died in our place as a substitute or a representative. Just as God appointed Adam to act as representative of all humanity, so he appointed Jesus Christ to act on behalf of all who trust him. There is no better scripture to see the idea of substitution than this one." And then he quotes from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 4, saying this, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." In the preface to the same book that we're going to consider here today on the broadcast, The Great Exchange, the authors write this, quote, "This book is first and foremost about the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is the sinless sin-bearer of all who are united to him by faith," unquote. The book that we're going to consider, as I was mentioning here just a moment ago, is The Great Exchange, My Sin for His Righteousness, and it's an examination of the doctrine of the atonement as it was taught by the apostles throughout the New Testament scriptures. My special guest on the program here in just a few moments will be Jerry Bridges, and Jerry will be expounding this glorious doctrine of the atonement as he wrote about it along with his co-host Bob Bevington in one of his latest books, The Great Exchange, My Sin for His Righteousness. The interview that I'm going to play in a couple minutes was a live interview that I taped with Jerry Bridges just about a week ago. Just really enjoyed speaking with him about this topic. He explains in the beginning of the interview, if I remember right, that the book was written based upon a book that was written quite a while ago by a man by the name of Smeaton. Smeaton wrote a book that actually two books, two volumes, George Smeaton, the dates for the books that he wrote was 1868 and 1870. But the two volumes that he wrote expounded in all the New Testament passages the doctrine of the atonement. One of his books was a book dealing with Christ's doctrine of the atonement from the Gospels and what Christ had to say about his own death and what his death accomplished, the atonement. And then his second book was the Doctrine of the Atonement as viewed by the apostles and the rest of the, we had the 27 books of the Old New Testament scriptures. And so in the rest of the New Testament, the book of Acts, the apostles that, epistles that the apostles wrote, and then of course the book of Revelation at the close of the New Testament scriptures, what did the apostles have to say about this important subject? We're going to go ahead and take our first break, but when we come back from the break, we'll go ahead and start that interview with Jerry Bridges, and then I'll open up the phone lines right after that interview. It's about 20 minutes long. After that interview, we'll open up the phone lines and get you to comment about this wonderful subject of the atonement of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but just the mention of this doctrine thrills my soul. I love to talk about the atonement. I love to look at it in all of its different aspects as we find it in the scriptures. We'll be back in just a couple moments to listen to this interview. Stay with us.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
The way people respond today is like, whatever feels good, I'm going to do it. But as a Christian, we have to always be mindful of who we're serving and in what capacity we should function. How do we function in the world? The world has a perception of Christians, and regardless of what they perceive us to be, I still have a God that I have to answer to on a daily basis.
Thanks for listening. We count it a privilege that you've made us part of your day. Christian Talk 660, your partner in ministry.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, how you been?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, with the gas prices and everything, I just filled the tank of my car, and I spent almost my whole rent for this month.
Yeah, I know. Those gas prices are just outrageous. But you know what? I heard about CDBs. Not only do they have great pizza, but if you bring your gas receipt in, you get a dollar off.
Oh, that's great.
So you can take your whole family, have a great night, and still have some money left for gas money.
Oh, that's great.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And don't forget to bring your gas receipt for a dollar off the already amazing low price. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program today. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we're going to be talking about the apostles and the atonement, the way that the apostles spoke about the atonement in the 27 books of the New Testament scripture, I should say, minus four of those, because four of those, of course, are the Gospels. So we'd be talking about the 23 books of the New Testament scriptures. And their view, what did they have to say about the atonement? Now, we're talking about this with Jerry Bridges. Of course, I'm sure a number of folks know that name, Jerry Bridges. They understand the, you know, he's been a tremendous writer in the Christian church for a number of years, and the Christian church owes him a tremendous debt, there's no doubt. He's just such a humble man, just very gracious in granting me that interview with him in person. And so he's going to be with me, and we're going to be talking about this book. And after we're done, then we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to comment on the subjects that we talked about. Let's go ahead and play the tape now, and then we'll get your comments right afterwards. Well, welcome into the Knowing the Truth radio program today. Today, my special guest on the program is Dr. Jerry Bridges. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Bridges about a book that he co-authored along with Bob Bevington. Now, you may remember that just a couple of weeks ago, Bob Bevington was my guest on the program, and we talked about this same book from a little bit different perspective, maybe, than we're going to look at today. But the book is entitled The Great Exchange, and the subtitle is My Sin for His Righteousness. The foreword is written by Sinclair Ferguson. And as I mentioned, the book is authored by Jerry Bridges and Bob Bevington. My guest today on the program is Dr. Jerry Bridges, and he's a longtime staff member for Navigators, and he currently serves with their collegiate ministry. In addition to his international speaking ministry, he has authored 10 books and 3 devotionals. Among them is The Pursuit of Holiness, which has sold well over 1 million copies, and an award-winning The Discipline of Grace, and I Will Follow You, O God. So all of those books and many others that I'm sure our listeners are very much familiar with. Dr. Bridges, thank you very much for taking the time out to be on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
It's a privilege to be with you, Pastor Bowen.
Dr. Bridges, I wanted to ask you, this book is certainly on a subject that I hold near and dear, and I hope that all Christians hold near and dear, the subject of the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, or maybe more theologically accurate would be to say the doctrine of the atonement. The doctrine of the atonement may not be, you know, a huge popular topic that we often hear of in our modern-day churches today, but it should be.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you why you wrote this book, and why specifically at this time did you feel that this topic was so important?
Well, first of all, this book is based or is patterned after a 19th century classic titled The Apostles' Doctrine of the Atonement by a Scotsman, George Smeaton. And that book is my all-time favorite because it just hits the gospel from every direction. And so Bob and I decided that we would try to produce something that says what Dr. Smeaton said, but says it in language that 21st century people can understand. The original book was 500 pages, 19th century prose, very intimidating to the modern day reader. So we trust that this will communicate Smeaton's thinking to the present-day audience.
Mm. Do you find that you mentioned there the difference between the modern-day reader and, I guess, the reader during the day that Smeaton wrote? Do you find that there's a great necessity to do this then, to kind of write kind of a synopsis of what these larger volumes had articulated so well, so that the modern day, to whet their appetite for these great doctrinal truths that were conveyed so well by early writers?
Oh, absolutely. There were many classics written by some of those early writers, all the way from John Owen, of course, John Calvin, Martin Luther, but back into the Puritan era, John Owen and people like that. And then those 19th century Scotsmen who were contemporaries of George Smeaton, all of them wrote outstanding books.
Mm.
But very few people are reading them today.
Mm-hmm. So writing a book that is very much readable, this is a very readable book put out by Crossway, 200 and some pages in this book. So your hope is that folks would, as they read through this, not only is this a good articulation in and of itself of the subject, but whet their appetite to look at some of these other books as well.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Let me ask you, the idea here in the book, I believe Smeaton wrote 2 books, right? The Doctrine of the Atonement in the Gospels.
Christ's Doctrine of the Atonement in the Gospels, you're correct.
Okay.
And then the Apostles' Doctrine of the Atonement from Acts through Revelation.
Okay, and your book focuses on the apostles specifically and
right.
Their doctrine of the atonement.
Yes.
I would imagine, before I get into it, to ask you to give me a summary of what the apostles' doctrine was, and maybe we can look at a couple of the individual books as well. But do you find it, I'd just love to hear your comments, I guess, on the new perspectives on Paul that we find in the modern church today. They don't line up, I wouldn't think, with what you have found when you studied the Apostles' Doctrine on the Atonement.
Well, for some reason, people, new perspective or others, are beginning to shy away from Christ's penal substitution, that is, that he died to pay the penalty for our sins. For some reason, that's obnoxious to many modern-day writers, and so they're substituting the new perspective, and it's difficult to articulate what that is. But nevertheless, I think that we need to pull back, come back. Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And why was he crucified? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "This is the gospel I preach to you. Christ died for our sins."
Mm-hmm. Amen. So it's a dangerous doctrine that is out there. Unfortunately, has some popularity among folks, maybe a little bit more in the emerging church or some segment of the emerging church. But it's certainly an error that's being taught that we need to stand up against and talk about penal substitution.
And it is. I'm at a loss to understand why people would want to do this. I was reading portions of this book coming on down on the plane to Orlando, and I was so excited about the righteousness of Christ that Paul sets forth in Romans. And I thought, why would anyone want to get away from this?
Mm-hmm.
That's our lifeline. That's eternal life.
Amen. Amen. There are so many of the aspects, the tentacles of the gospel, if we could, that are so closely tied to that foundational issue of the atonement of Christ, that to unravel that is to unravel huge aspects. I think about our assurance off the top of my head. Our assurance of salvation with Christ is all wrapped up in the acceptance of his sacrifice with the Father. And apart from that, we can't have any assurance. And so I'm bewildered myself as to why anybody who names the name of Christ would want to do damage to that doctrine and feel that it is a good thing for the church. I'm just at a loss at what the thinking is there myself as well. Let me ask you, in your book here, one of the titles is, you start off with the unique qualifications of the apostles, and I'm going to take that as a given just for the purpose of this interview and hope that our listeners understand that the apostles were uniquely qualified to write about this subject. But in the second aspect of the book, or the second chapter there, you write about the apostles' summary. Give me a brief idea of what the summary of the apostles' doctrine is concerning the atonement of Christ.
I would say that it consists in two things. Christ lived the life we should have lived, that is, perfectly obeying the law of God. Galatians chapter 4 says he was born of woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law. That is, he submitted himself to the law of God. He perfectly obeyed that. He perfectly obeyed the will of the Father in going to the cross. So there's his perfect obedience, a representative obedience on the one hand, and then his substitutionary death for us on the other hand. This sums up, I think, the apostles' doctrine of the atonement. Now, there are many aspects and many things that flow out of that, but that's the root of the matter.
Mm. I pastor a small church, a small Reformed congregation, under 100 people, and I preach a lot about the earned righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm surprised at how many people have heard this doctrine for the first time, that there has been a lot of focus, of course, on the vicarious sacrifice of Christ, the shedding of his blood, the paying of the price for our sins, or the active obedience of Christ. The passive obedience
passive
of Christ.
Obedience, yes.
But there's been very little focus on the active obedience of Christ. And I find that people, it's almost a new subject to them that Christ actually had to earn a righteousness for us. Of course, the flip side of justification.
Right.
Expound upon that. Have you found that to be a doctrine that many people are not aware of
in their mind? Oh, yes. And I remember when I first began to understand this many, many years ago. It's like going from black and white to color television.
That's right.
It's just there it is. And it was so precious. When you consider the fact that Jesus was born into a real human family, and the Gospels tell us specifically that he had four brothers and several sisters, And to grow up in a family like that with, you know, we think of sibling rivalry and he hit me first and things like that. to grow up in a real family like that, they were sinners like we are, not notorious sinners, but they had sinfulness like we do. And yet he never sinned. Going into his teenage years, never the thoughts of a teenager, I mean the typical thoughts, all of these things, and that is credited to us. You're familiar with the play on the word justification, that it means just as if I'd never sinned. Well, the other way of stating that is just as if I had always obeyed.
Amen.
And that's so precious.
It is.
Yeah.
And that speaks of, you know, when we think about our access with the Father and our acceptance with the Father, it's not based upon our sincerity when we prayed the sinner's prayer. It's not based upon our performance as we go through the Christian life now. It's based upon that perfect union with our wonderful Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Which, not to say that we shouldn't strive for holiness. Obviously, that's a byproduct of the Christian life. But our ultimate acceptance is based upon what has already been done for us. I think of those words of Horatius Bonner, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's life, upon another's death, I stake my whole eternity. Yeah. And I hope every Christian can say amen to that.
Amen.
The verse that we're really talking about, that we go to, that points out this idea of the earned righteousness of Christ. We're not talking about his essential righteousness that he has as the second person of the Trinity. That can never be communicated to us. But what we're talking about is that substitutionary or vicarious
life representatives,
even better, because it holds well with Romans chapter 5. Exactly. But the verse that we look at is Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. And so there Paul is contrasting the first Adam with the second Adam, and he focuses in on that idea of the earned righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
That's a teaching that, as we just said, unfortunately we lament that it's just not taught that much in the modern church today.
And, you know, the secret to understanding that is understanding our representative union with Christ. That just as Adam represented all humanity in the garden, so Christ represents all who will ever trust in him, in both his death and his life. So that's why I call it a representative union. When he lived the perfect life, I lived the perfect life. And the strength of this book lies in that continual emphasis there. And of course, we've patterned this book after George Smeaton's. And that's why George Smeaton's book has been my all-time favorite, because he so hammers away at our representative union. He'll say things like, when Christ lived a perfect life, you lived a perfect life. When Christ died on the cross, you died on the cross. Because he did what he did as our representative.
That's really the key to a successful, or should I say, a faithful and a fruitful Christian life, isn't it?
Amen.
Turning our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. In your book here, you then look at a number of, well, all of the books, I think, of the New Testament scriptures where the atonement is then focused on. We happen to be doing a study right now in the book of Colossians and looking at how the Apostle Paul addresses the attack that is coming against the Colossian believers from the Gnostics of his day, whether it's actual Gnosticism or just the seeds of Gnosticism is not a vital point.
Right.
But the attack is coming that there's another way to have acceptance with God through asceticism, through legalism, through mysticism, whatever. But Paul is saying, no, no, no. If you understand the person and the work of Jesus Christ, if you understand who you are in Christ, you're never going to want for another, man-made relationship with the Father than you have in this union with Christ. Tell me what you write about in the book. Give me a summary of what you look at there as being Paul's doctrine of the atonement, as we find in the book of Colossians. I don't mean to put you on the spot and pull out a book of the New Testament. But
I would say that probably just going off my memory here, and it's been a while since we worked on that.
Yeah.
But in Colossians chapter 2, and if I might borrow your Bible,
let me get it for you.
Turn it to Colossians chapter 2.
Okay. And I would have one of these small print Bibles here.
That's okay. I've got my reading glasses.
Okay. Here's Colossians 2 right there in the beginning.
Okay.
And I pointed that out because in your book, as I want to say, as you're finding that section there, to our listeners, that every single one of the, I think, every single one of the 27 books of the New Testament, you bring out the doctrine of the atonement of Christ and where it's found in that book. And so that's why I bring it out for our listeners.
Yes, and I would say the key passage in Colossians would be Colossians 2, 13 and 14. And Paul writes, "And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." That's past tense, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. That's forgiveness, just in technicolor language there, see. And that's, you know, when a Christian is dealing with sin, they've fallen on their face before some temptation, or they've had what I call a bad day when everything kind of goes wrong, and they get irritable and anxious and frustrated and things like that, just to go back and to say, you know, all of my stuff for today has been blotted out. It's been nailed to the cross. He's forgiven me. My record is clean. That's what it is, see. And though we don't bring in the positive obedience of Christ, that forgiveness is sort of the first step. In fact, you know, in the way Paul treats that in 2 Corinthians 5:21, which is the theme verse for this book, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I use this rather homely illustration. Suppose you've been out working all day, say, in your barn or your barnyard, and you're cleaning up the muck and all of this sort of stuff. And at the end of the day, you come into the house and you need two things. You need a shower and you need a set of clean clothes. The shower is the washing away of my sin. The clean clothes is the imputation of Christ's righteousness. We need both.
Amen.
We wouldn't put on clean clothes without first taking the shower. There's no point in taking the shower and then putting on the old grubby clothes again.
That's
we need
right.
both.
That's right. Dr. Bridges, just one more question for you. Some folks would say, you know, if you focus just on the righteousness of Christ, if we turn our attention to Christ in this way, you know, this is not going to actually lead to more righteousness in a person's life. It'll lead to maybe an antinomianism. People will just think, well, Christ has done it all for me. It doesn't matter how I live. But that's not what happens at all, is it?
No, not at all.
As we behold Christ, we love him more. We want that issue a little bit.
Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, "For the love of Christ constrains us." And the word constrain, in different translations use control, compel, constrain. And what they're all trying to get at is the fact that, you know, the Greek word, as I'm sure you know, means to be sort of squeezed together. As one of the old guys said, forcing me to one end and prohibiting me from considering any other. In other words, it gives focus to my life. And what is the focal point in my life? Well, at the end of verse 15, he says to live not for ourselves, but for him who died for us and was raised again. But how is that love of Christ, which is going to motivate us, how is it displayed? For we judge that if one died, then all died. That is, he gets immediately to the substitutionary atonement as the expression of Christ's love. And it's that which motivates us to want to live not for ourselves, but for him. So the gospel, rightly understood, will motivate a person to pursue holiness even more diligently. When you see a person who is nonchalant about the pursuit of holiness, it means they really don't understand the gospel. They may know it intellectually, but it's not really taken hold in their lives.
Mm. I mention that quite often about that there must be good fruit following our faith.
Absolutely.
And if there isn't fruit following, then it points to a faulty faith that we have.
Right.
Something's wrong, because the inevitable byproduct of a authentic relationship with Christ is the fruit that will follow afterwards, as you just stated.
Yes.
Dr. Bridges, thank you very much for being with us on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today. I highly encourage folks to read this book, The Great Exchange. Just as Dr. Bridges was saying that Smeaton's work became his favorite book, I hope that this becomes one of your favorites as well. The Great Exchange with Jerry Bridges and Bob Bevington. My Sin for His Righteousness is put out by Crossway Books. You can go out to www.crossway.org. And again, Dr. Bridges, thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you. It's been a privilege.
Okay. Hey, welcome back into the live Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. That was a taped interview there just a few minutes ago that we were listening to Jerry Bridges and I discuss the subject of the atonement of Christ as it is put forth by the apostles in the 24 books of the New Testament scriptures. I'm saying 24 because there's a separate book that deals with the atonement of Christ as it is in the Gospels. We're going to go to a very quick commercial break, and when we come back, you're certainly welcome to call and to give me your comments or your questions about this book, about this subject, about that interview. Let me give you that number. It's 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. We're just going to take a couple-minute break, 2-3 minutes, and then we'll be right back in the discussion. We're talking about the Great Exchange, My Sin for His Righteousness. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
You can hear Christian Worldview Today weekday mornings at 7.
Very, very true what you just said. People have short-term memory.
Yeah, I just don't think they care about what we think until it's election cycle. And then they care only because it means their job. And if that's the only thing that really makes an impression, then that's where we need to attack the problem.
Christian Worldview Today with Dr. Tony Beam. Weekday mornings at 7 o'clock on Christian Talk 660.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Hey, Ruth, what's going on?
Hey, how you been?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. You know, with the gas prices and everything, I just feel a bit crank of my car. And I spent almost my whole rent for this month.
Yeah, I know. Those gas prices are just outrageous. But you know what? I heard about CVB's. Not only do they have great pizza, but if you bring your gas receipt in, you get $1 off.
Oh, that's great.
So you can take your whole family, have a great night, and still have some money left for gas money.
Oh, that's great.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. And don't forget to bring your gas receipt for $1 off the already amazing low price. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. In the beginning, in the first half an hour or so,
of the broadcast, we were listening to a conversation I had with Jerry Bridges about, just this wonderful subject of the atonement and what the apostles specifically had to say about the atonement. Let me give you a couple of heads up on a couple other broadcasts that will be coming up that I think you may be interested in. One is next Tuesday. Ravi Zacharias is scheduled to be with me on the broadcast. Of course, he's a world-renowned speaker. He's an author, certainly a recognized authority on Christian apologetics and also on writing about and debating comparative religions and philosophy. And so we're going to be speaking with him about his new book called New Birth or Rebirth. The subtitle to that book is Jesus Talks with Krishna. And so in that book, we'll see that Ravi Zacharias is addressing and contrasting Christianity with Hinduism and proving that the differences between those two religions do matter. And so that'll be on next Tuesday's broadcast. Ravi Zacharias will be right here with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program. Also, we're going to be talking about what is a healthy church member on Thursday's broadcast next week. And so you'll be interested in hearing that discussion as well. Fabidi will be with me here on the broadcast, and we'll be talking about his book, What is a Healthy Church Member? I think it's very important that we look at this subject. Of course, we've talked many times before about what is a healthy church, but I try to stress with my own congregation as well that there are certain responsibilities for church members as well. And so he asserts that it is, that the ordinary Christian should have and can have and should have a real impact on the health of his or her church. And so he's going to explain this as we talk about his book on next Thursday's broadcast. Also, I wanted to make mention that if you want to hear any of the free audio from any of the programs we did, like earlier this week, I interviewed Ken Ham and, of course, J.I. Packard last week, and Dinesh D'Souza and Andreas Kostenberger and David Wells and just a host of other well-known Christian authors. You want to hear any of those, you can simply go out to our website at www.knowingthetruth.org. That's www.knowingthetruth.org, and you can listen to all of those resources out on that website. Well, getting back to our topic here today about the Great Exchange, what a wonderful discussion. I said during my discussion with Jerry Bridges on that topic that this is a doctrine that doesn't seem to get much airtime today. And yet, as people examine this doctrine, as they look at the atonement, as they look at our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, as they look at the idea of substitutionary sacrifice of Christ, that he did these things in our stead, in our place, then I think that they will begin to realize all of these other glorious doctrines that are tied to it. For instance, as I mentioned with Jerry Bridges there, one that comes to my mind immediately is the idea of assurance of salvation. Now, let's just think about this for a minute in light of the fact of the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. When people think about assurance today, oftentimes they look to their own, the legitimacy of their own profession of faith. They look back to the day that they said the quote-unquote sinner's prayer, when they prayed a prayer asking Christ to come into their heart, and they look back to that time and that event to say to themselves, was I sincere during that time? And if I was sincere, then I have a great level of confidence that I have a legitimate profession of faith before the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they draw their comfort from that profession that they made, a long period of time ago. But really, when you think about our union with Christ, when you begin to understand the idea of the substitutionary atonement of Christ in greater depth, when you begin to really see how closely we are tied, that wonderful phrase that we find throughout the epistles, in Christ, that we are in this wonderful union with him, so that when he lived, we lived. When he died, we died. When he rose, we rose from the dead.
I mentioned that Horatius Bonner said, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon another's life, upon another's death, I stake my whole eternity. When you get to the point of saying that, when you can say that with all clarity and confidence based upon your knowledge of the atoning work of Jesus Christ and his substitutionary sacrifice for you, and then how that relates to you as a believer, then you can draw a whole new level of assurance of salvation as compared to an assurance based simply upon your own ability to repent, your own ability to be your own level of sincerity when you came to Christ, your own progression in the Christian walk, these types of things. All of those things you'll see are side items compared to the rock, the bedrock of our relationship in Christ because of what Christ has done for us in his substitutionary work. So there's just one area, I think, that expounds a little bit about why this doctrine is so important and why neglecting it in our preaching and teaching today and our meditation of the Christian in the pew as well, why the lack of these things really has a dramatic impact upon the life of the church today. Let's run to the phone lines very quick. We got Don is up. Don, what's your comments about this particular topic today?
Well, brother, I think that it's rather sad that this is neglected among so many people. And I don't know, I have my own ideas, but I was just curious as to your ideas as to why this is so.
Mm.
I didn't know if you wanted to go first or...
No, I'd like to hear your view of that, Don. I do have my own ideas,
okay.
You know, just with the lack of doctrinal teaching and those types of things, but let's hear yours.
Well, I think there is a lack of doctrinal teaching, no question about that. I think a lot of people in a lot of churches are more interested. They always talk about what's practical.
Mm-hmm.
And what's practical a lot of times in a lot of contemporary preaching boils down to... self-help kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
How can I have a better marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with having a better. We all want to have better marriages.
Right.
But how can I be more successful in the business or my relationships? And that's really not ultimately what it's all about.
But I think also in that, Don, that people fail to realize that a proper understanding of the doctrine does have a dramatic impact upon the way that we live life every day. You know,
well, that's exactly right. And
mm-hmm.
I think that one thing that people, along with the general biblical illiteracy in our society at large and the church even, mm-hmm. unfortunately, is this failure to realize that God, we live in a society with such rampant individualism today,
mm-hmm.
and we fail to realize that God has always acted representatively
mm-hmm.
or covenantally. People don't like the idea that Adam is our representative.
That's right.
But if you don't grasp that, then you're not going to grasp what Jesus Christ did for you mm-hmm. as your representative.
And it shouldn't be a concept that is foreign to us, especially here in the States, because, you know, our government is a representative form of government. So
exactly
we
right.
send people up there. We don't vote on every single issue that comes up. We vote a person in. And then we trust, and we won't go down that road, but we trust then that they will vote in a responsible way. But whatever they vote on has a dramatic impact upon our life. If the president decides to go to war in this representative government, we all go to war. And if
exactly.
you just so in the same way, you know, this shouldn't be a foreign concept to us, but this is the gospel, as Paul points out there in Romans chapter 5, that in Adam we all sinned, and there's a very real sense in which we can talk about we were all there, certainly represented by Adam when he sinned. When he sinned, we sinned. We were all plunged into the state of sin and misery when he fell in the garden.
Well, that's right, and that goes back to what you were talking about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that evolution is true, that we evolved over millions of years and there was no real historical Adam, then
mm-hmm.
all that goes down the tubes as well.
That's right.
It all blends together.
Mm.
And you're right. I mean, this has a tremendous impact
right,
on how we live, on our assurance, on our standing with Christ. Is there something that's mm-hmm. going to interrupt that standing tomorrow? Is there a sin that I'm going to commit? And believe me, I don't mm-hmm. for a moment, I do not want to suggest that we sin,
right.
you know, like Paul does in Romans 6. But, you know, is there anything that's going to separate me mm-hmm. from the love of Christ? Well, no. Well, why is that? Well, it's not only the decree of election, but it's what Christ has done for me,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that I died with him. I rose with him. I ascended with him. You know, I'm in him so completely
mm-hmm.
that that's an unbreakable bond.
And you and I were just saying about, you know, the practical aspect of this. You take that concept that we're just talking about, sins forgiven and forgotten, you know, that is enough to get us through this life. You lose your job. Something comes up, in, you know, speaking about practical things. Your job is gone.
Yes.
You get laid off or in a down economy, these types of things. Listen, your sins are forgiven and forgotten. Another job will come. It may not be the best job, may not be as good as the previous job that you had, but your sins are forgiven and forgotten by God because of the person and the work of Christ.
And if you don't know that and you don't have that in your life, you have nothing.
That's right.
You have absolutely nothing but despair.
That's right. And you have situations, you know, when we're talking about a marriage situation, as you brought up, that so many people, this becomes the very, very practical teaching that we hear today. Well, if you understand the atonement and what Christ has done for you in order to win you back and put you in a right relationship with God through this ministry of redemption and reconciliation, then when your spouse says a cross word to you or doesn't respond to you in a manner that you think is worthy of yourself, you know, these types of things,
mm-hmm.
and you're so put off by it, the Christian thought, the way that we would bring the doctrine of the atonement then to bear is, listen, we have wickedly and willfully sinned against Christ. When we were unloving, lovable, he came and died for us in order to win us to himself. He has forgiven us. Surely the thing that I can do is now forgive this person for this little off word or comment that has been made to me. And so it does have extremely practical application in every single aspect of our life.
Yeah, and why else would Paul, for example, in 1 Corinthians 6, chide the believers in Corinth for suing one another, and he says, you know, why not rather be defrauded?
That's right.
You know, why not rather have wrong done to you? How could he say such a thing in our society of rights?
Mm-hmm.
We could say it because, you know, look what Christ has done. Look what he endured for us, and look what he has done in paying the price. So, you know, what's a little loss of your property or
mm-hmm.
whatever? And see, it's real easy for us to say when things are going well.
Right.
When things aren't, that's the test of whether we really believe these things.
That's right. But we're talking just about how do people take these doctrinal truths and then make application to everyday issues that they have in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, like we started off in our first part of our conversation here, that the church isn't teaching these things because they have deemed them to be non-relevant to today's issues, to the day, you know, getting up Monday morning and going to work and dealing with a boss that is difficult to deal with, or as we mentioned, in marriage or children, wayward children, or all kinds of situations that come up in the lives of Christians. And they have deemed that these doctrines are divorced from these issues.
Well, right, they deem them to be non-relevant, and they've also, let's face it, Kevin, the church is dumbed down.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it that bluntly, but we are.
But the case that you and I are making is they're not irrelevant to these situations.
No.
If you really think through them, they're extremely relevant. And these other answers that we get, any other answer that we find apart from the scriptures and apart from our relationship with Jesus Christ is going to be a fleeting answer, just a temporary solution. You may get a little bit of relief, but ultimately it will not go to the heart of what the issue is.
That's exactly right.
And so we're saying to people, listen, don't settle for a lesser answer. Find your answer in the Word of God. The answer is there in the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and these wonderful doctrines that we've been talking about.
And you know, I believe that there may be pastors who maybe teach these things in a dry way,
mm-hmm.
don't apply them, and that's not right either.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
We can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Teach the doctrines, teach them thoroughly,
mm-hmm.
but then apply them. Apply them to life.
And I think, Don, you know, in saying that, what has taken place in the church today, the reason why they've gotten off of these subjects and have gotten into other areas, one of the reasons is like you say, these things were presented in such a dry manner, a dry, lifeless, you know, we use the phrase dead orthodoxy,
yeah.
that they had the truth. They had it in their creeds. They had it in their statements of faith and all of these things. But the truth wasn't loved and lived out in the life, and it wasn't. They weren't willing to lay down their life for these things. And I think this is really directly related to the what we were talking about the other day with our young people when they go off to college.
Yes.
You know, these truths are presented in the early part of their life as just something that, oh, well, we believe. But the connection, the bridge is not built from thinking about these things and believing in these things to implicating these things or implementing these things into our daily living.
Yeah, and if that doesn't happen, then the secular philosophers will eat you up.
That's right.
Like I think it was Walter Martin once said, like a doctrinal pretzel, because it's all around us.
Mm.
It's you know, we're just inundated with it every single day.
That's right. We've got the truth. We've got the wonderful doctrines that can you know, get us through this life. Anything you go through, cancer, a loss of a job, a divorce, any situation that comes up in this life, the loss of your health, these types of things, or your mobility, every single situation we face, the gospel applied, known and applied, is the solution to every single one of those problems.
Amen, brother. Couldn't have said it better.
All right. Thanks, Don, for
your
comments today. Appreciate it. Let's run back to the phone lines. We got Ron up on the line now. Ron, welcome into the program today.
Hey, Ken, just a quick prayer request here.
Sure.
You know my theological background.
Mm-hmm.
Got all this knowledge, but I mean to tell you, brother,
mm-hmm.
I am struggling through keeping that at the fore of my mind in the all world, bouncing things out between
yes.
Christian responsibility and speaking the truth with grace.
Yes.
It's turned into a big, big challenge for me. I just call for a prayer.
Well, Ron, I'll certainly pray for you and encourage our listeners to do that as well. Ron, you're articulating the struggle right there. You know, that is the daily walk of the Christian. It's not just as simple as one little thing that we have to focus on. The Christian life is lived on a battlefield. And so, like soldiers, you know, we're trying to keep our focus on everything, but there's a lot of things taking place in the battle, and there's a lot of different areas that need our attention. You stated them well, other Christian responsibilities and family responsibilities, a number of things. And so not only pray for you, Ron, but thank you for sharing that as well, because I think that's the struggle that a lot of people face.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you bringing up the warfare and the battle of it all, because sometimes I think we lose sight of that, and it just becomes a mere intellectual ascent.
Yeah.
And it sure isn't that.
You're right, Ron. I had a young man that I was counseling with many years ago, and as I was talking with him, he was going through a lot of struggles in his life. I mean, he was just a young guy, and he was dealing with a lot of issues. He had come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, but he said to me, "How come I never hear any other Christians talking about this?" He goes, "Nobody seems to be going through any struggles." And I said to him, "Well, it's not that people are going through. I don't know why they're not mentioning them. But, Danny, let me tell you, this is the Christian life. We have to fight against these things, fight against the flesh, fight against the world, fight against the devil. There's no doubt about it. We have errors that are being put forth in the Christian church, and we need to stand up for the truth and apply these things and understand them in our life." Thanks a lot, Ron. Okay, well, that's certainly a good place to close out the broadcast today with a very practical application of knowing the truth. That's what this broadcast is all about. Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what we're looking at doing. Looking at the scriptures, what does God say about these various issues, and then applying those scriptures to our life on a daily basis. Basically, in a nutshell, It's knowing what you believe and knowing why you believe it. That's the goal here of this ministry on the radio program. And I hope through these interviews that we're doing and discussions that we're having that this is helping you in your Christian walk. Next week, Tuesday, Ravi Zacharias. Join us then. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.